Hello, 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 everyone. This is Christine Marie and Julie with Life with the Girlfriends.
Hello.
I switch it up a little bit, girlfriend. I switch it up. Usually I say, hey, it's Life with the Girlfriends.
That's
it's Christine
right.
Marie and Julie. Today we're going to have a fun show. We're going to be talking just you and me, huh, Mama, the first half hour?
Can you believe it? It's
I
just
know.
The two of us.
Just the first half hour, you and me.
It's so intimate.
And then the second half hour, we have an Aussie coming on. An Aussie. His name is Jared Knight. And it's kind of cool because we're talking about he writes children's books,
mm-hmm.
but he also has a couple of books that teaches you how to write and be a cartoonist and
mm-hmm.
how to cartoon yourself. And really cool. He's got a really cool story. And, you know, I love it because he comes from this place of having difficulties in his childhood. I don't want to tell his whole background.
Yeah,
yet.
Why are you doing that now?
I'm not.
Oh, you're just going to set it up,
just
right?
Set it up. And so I want to tell everybody, if you've ever had this desire to
Cartoon yourself,
be a cartoonist.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of people have, because right now, what's so big in this world right now is comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And what do they call those?
Comic-Con.
And this idea of also, God, I can't think of it. I can't think of the name of it, like the novels, not virtual novels, but...
You mean like Kindle?
No, I can't think of it. My bad. But anyway, so if you've ever thought about writing in that kind of genre, it's not just popular for kids, but for adults as well.
That's right.
I say, come on, listen to us in our last half hour, but first, Mom and I are just going to do some chatting.
And you know, if you want to, you just go, hey, cartoon yourself.
Like, cartoon yourself,
that's right.
And today, you know, no one really knows about this alter ego my mom has. Can I share
it? And today we're going to share my alter ego.
Yes. Can I give your pen name or no?
You know how Clark Kent was,
yes.
You know, Superman.
Yes. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You gotta kidding me. Because I was always, I mean, the guy with the glasses
mm-hmm.
is Superman?
Mm-hmm. The guy with in the phone booth? And yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, those glasses, they totally threw me.
I know.
They totally threw me. And so here we are. Here's how we spent our afternoon. We spent our afternoon with watching adult men.
Right.
In their 20s and some in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling.
Wrestling. They were wrestling each other.
And like, in like, you know, pro kind of style.
Yeah.
With their storylines and their plots and
yeah.
dressing up.
They had actual costumes.
Yes.
And masks.
It was awesome.
Okay.
And I have seen them before. And I have shared, because I think this is visual art. I think
mm-hmm.
it's just cool and awesome. And yes, it's obviously, I don't want to take the bloom off the flower. But it's scripted a little bit.
It is a little scripted, but, you know, they got to know when that punch is coming.
They'll get hurt.
Slam their foot on the ground and make
exactly.
it. Exactly.
And so we went today, and it was so much fun because to see these grown men in their little underwear.
Their little Speedos.
Exactly. In their costumes and their persona, their alter persona.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been telling Mom about this group who I know for a while now, and Mom wrote a little story about them.
I did
say a little story. It's a pretty cool summer story called Sinkhole de Mayo.
That's right.
And
under my alter ego.
Yes.
Sinkhole de Mayo.
Yes. And you're like, I want this to come out during...
I came out before.
De Mayo. Yes,
May
you did.
5th, that's
you
right.
You really did. You kicked butt. And so it's so great because here we are, you know, you're writing this story, very cool, about, you know, these kind of amateur, slight pro wrestlers
mm-hmm.
that are thrown in, you know, doing some summer gig, thrown into the mix of having to save the world from all these sinkholes.
That's right.
And the sinkhole is then, we find out, caused by something, don't want to give away the story,
mm-hmm.
but crazy.
That's right.
And, you know, it leads to Hitler, possibly.
Or mayhem.
Mayhem.
Nazis.
Nazis and zombies.
Aliens.
Ah. All in there for a good summer read.
That's right.
And so it was so much fun seeing it. I'm going to ask you, because we really didn't have time to talk about it afterwards, what was your impression of watching these grown men
mm-hmm.
who have jobs,
mm-hmm.
doing this?
I was downright giddy. I just loved it. I, you know, I didn't care who I was clapping for, either the, you know, the bad guy or the good guy. Well, they did have some, it was at one point the Americans versus the dastardly Canadians, OMG. Americans won. Yay, USA, USA.
Against the Canadians. I loved it.
And, you know, the personas, the heterosexual life partners, they were great.
Yes.
And you know, listen, it was 95 out here today, and they were, you know, wrestling in the summer sun. And, you know, you got to be pretty buff to do that.
Well, and it's so cool because I felt a kinship to them. Because here they are, adult men, mm-hmm. and some adult women doing their part in this performance art. And they,
oh, Julie, you're so kind.
Yeah, it is performance art. Because I know they mean like one's
mixed with the mixed with the buckets of beer.
Yes,
and the loose meat tacos. Yes, it was performance art.
I know there's a couple teachers in that group. I know there's a musician. I know there's a couple guys who just have sales jobs. I know mm-hmm. there's a janitor. Mm-hmm. I know there's a whole bunch of people in there that have real 9-to-5 jobs mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call them nowadays. And they do this on the weekends. And they get together and they practice. And mm-hmm. some of them have bodies that are just a little bit Midwestern, let's mm-hmm. just say. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. in great shape for being a Midwestern, you know, kid, you mm-hmm. know, guy. Mm-hmm. And so they're not this huge wrestlers. And some were huge, and I was always frightened. So I'm like, okay, how is this 5'5" guy going to fight this 6'2" mm-hmm. guy who literally weighs about 300 pounds?
That's
I
right.
don't get it.
That's right.
But they did it. And so I loved it because in the audience, I had been to a couple of these because I know some of the guys and so forth, but I look at the crowd. And there are some adults, the kids love it,
yes.
by the way. The kids
yes.
adore it. They're having a good time. And they have adult shows and they have family shows. This is a, kind of like a family show
mm-hmm.
in the middle of daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And I scan the audience because some of the adults are just digging it.
Mm-hmm.
They get the
mm-hmm.
theater of it. They get the flavor and the energy behind it. And they're out there having a good time. And then you may get these stragglers that come in and they don't have any idea what they're looking at. They're like literally in awe. I'm like, they're not getting it. They're not enjoying themselves. And I'm like, okay, I'm curious how long they're going to stay. It was sort of like, remember when we watched this week on Thursday night or Friday night, Mom? It was that singing competition. You win it, or what was it called?
Oh, yeah. What the heck was that? It was singing competition, yeah.
Anyway, it's like two groups or, you know, two sets of songs come out
mm-hmm.
and they battle it. And then 101, they call it industry or music critics, bloggers, and fans.
Yes. Yes.
Fans get to pick which one's better.
Yes.
And it was sort of like, it was really a fun night. We were enjoying it. And there was this one, three sisters, darling sisters, triplets, come
mm-hmm.
out. They're probably 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they open their mouths and they're singing this sound.
Oh my gosh.
Song from the, it's a goat song. You know, goat song. And
yeah,
it's from
the goat fur song.
Yes, it's from Sound of Music, I believe.
Oh my gosh.
And the audience mouths just dropped.
Everybody just, really, gosh, everybody what? Just went, what are we hearing?
Before this, there were hearing Motown,
we were hearing
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra,
Whitney Houston, just a lot of cool
yeah.
stuff,
and
right?
then these three triplets, cute girls. And they didn't sound bad.
No, they sounded awesome. They sounded awesome. They rocked that song, man. They rocked it. They
all
brought
right.
it home.
All right.
They did.
So.
But they did.
But they could have picked somebody somewhere along the line did not give them good.
No.
Good.
Somebody should have bettered that song because literally they had a camera person on this one person
mm-hmm.
and their jaw dropped.
Yes.
Like, what am I hearing? And then you go, take the money. Hit the money and run, kids. Don't say run. It's fun because you didn't make it. And so, you know,
so how does this relate back to our?
It relates to the fans about in the group when they're going. When I can see that there's just some people in the group that have that mouth dropping open. Like, what the heck am I here
what
for?
What am I? How did I end up here?
Yeah.
And
they leave about
Sunday
15
afternoon.
Minutes into this thing. They're like, this is just crazy. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's silly, mm-hmm. stupid, whatever. And those are not my friends, thank goodness.
Cause that's right.
I like into having fun. So, girlfriend, has there ever been a time in your life
mm-hmm.
when, I mean, regardless of public humiliation, you chose to do something for the pure enjoyment of for yourself, your friends around you who are participating, and the ones that would literally enjoy in the audience, even though you would know 15, 20, 30% would be like thinking badly of you or feeling bad.
That's a tough question because, you know, I've lived a life, you know.
Yes.
I'm sure there might have been some things, but probably about 15 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. No, maybe longer than that, actually. Your father, Starman Norman, and I went to this thing called the Jim Rose Freak Show.
Okay. Okay.
We didn't tell anybody. It was just me and him, you know, getting our freak on. But we went there, and they were basically kind of a real circus act. But they did it on stage, you know. And, like, one guy, I don't know, had some things going through his nipples and, you know, picked up big, I don't know, concrete blocks with it. You know, one guy, you know, put something down his, you know, up and down, then down his nose. And then he got a little more risque, you know. Luckily, I don't think anybody that I know, you know, saw me there.
So you were just, you felt embarrassed just by witnessing it, by being in the audience.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome.
Well, you were thinking I was participating?
I'm like, did you get called up on stage? Were you asked to be some kind of witness in some kind of interesting method?
Mm.
You know,
no,
we need a volunteer from the audience,
that's
everyone.
That's right. But
Christine Marie, come on up here.
I mean, I've seen them on TV now and stuff like that, you know. So they actually, from that, you know, point, have progressed to, like, you know, a TV act or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah,
very
cool. That was kind of cool.
Well, the only thing I can say that I did, you know, I try to do something brave a lot. Not a lot. I have a tendency not to be brave. You know, I don't.
No, that's not true at all.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
I mean, I think you're really, I mean, you rescue dogs, you rescue people. I mean, you stop traffic to, I remember one time we were coming down the highway and there was a semi pulled over and he had lost his load. And I go, what is that, Julie, in the middle of the highway? And you were helping this man pick up his load off the middle of the highway?
That was hard, too. That was difficult. It did not look very
heavy. I think you have some balls, Julie. I think you have some courage.
Well, I don't know if I should share the thing that I think I was the most bravest at, because that was a while ago.
Okay.
Do you know what it is?
Mm-mm.
You know what, though? Here's the thing, though. I will tell you this. It's the time that I went to a nudist camp. Because I read it, and it was really cool, because I was learning how to do massage therapy. It was like 3 weeks. Awesome.
3 weeks of total nudity.
No, it was not. But it was 3 weeks of massage therapy lessons and, like, you know, learning all these cool
metaphysical
things.
But it was nudity, though.
It was not, except that it said, on the bottom it said, clothing optional.
Right.
And I did not know that meant that people would choose to opt out on their clothes.
Really?
I thought that...
It's in Northern California.
I was crazy. I was young. I was naive.
Yeah.
And
but I knew.
How dare you? I know, and yet you said... It said clothing optional, Julie. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to opt to wear clothes. That's crazy. That's nuts. That is nuts. And then as soon as I get there, you know, and luckily it's in the middle of the mountains called Harbin Springs, and it's in the middle of the mountains in Northern California, so it's not a direct path. And you fly in, you take a cab to this one place, and you take a bus to another place, and you finally get another bus.
By the time you get off the bus, you're naked.
No. I had met some friends, and one was an older, I think, Japanese woman, and she was very nice to me, and I'm like, are you taking off your clothes? And she goes, well, maybe. And I go, oh, she goes, well, I won't take off my clothes. I'm like, oh, okay, good. Mm-hmm. Thank God I converted one back to reality. That's just nuts. So I'm trying to talk to a lot of people who are going up there that are part of my class, trying to get a feel.
Mm-hmm.
See what's
going
to happen. Mm-hmm. And, like, sure enough, though, you know, not in the massage part, not when we're getting taught, only in the pool area. We go for our pool, our swim.
They broke bad.
They all broke bad on me. And because I'm like putting my swimsuit on, and I realize this nice Japanese woman who had my back, and this other guy, they're like, oh, geez, I'm going to get naked. Don't worry about it. And so
I didn't come all this way not to get naked.
Yeah. And so I chose to be brave. But I don't know if it was being brave or feeling more out of place having clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, it's not like when you go to these places, people are pretty darn cool, you know, and nobody's perfect up there. This is not a community. They all look great because it's Northern California and they're all eating healthy and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking supermodels, you know, and we're talking a wide variety of ages. You know, and everybody's pretty cool. Nobody's looking down. Everybody's looking up.
Well, I, you know, and here I wanted to be a responsible, you know, mama.
Oh, you are far from responsible.
Knowing
you
that I'm letting my daughter go to a nudist colony.
Yes.
And so what did I do before you left? I gave you a
safety word.
A safe word, yes.
Okay. Yes.
What was the safe word?
I had to talk about my dog that had passed away, Henry, and ask how he was doing.
Oh, that's right, in the current tense.
Yeah, in the current tense. And then therefore you would know.
And at that point I would leave my little house in the Midwest, take a plane to you, girlfriend.
And pick me up, yes.
And rescue you. I'd be there maybe in 48 hours.
Yeah, by that time, I'd be like, exactly. By that time, I'd be like, it's over. I'm changed. Forever.
I knew, though, because you were getting, I read the curriculum, and you were going to, you know, get your massage certificate, but that you were also doing this water
massage,
therapeutic, you know, modality called Watsu, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's not only are you naked, but the person who's Watsuing you
naked. I didn't even go there next, and now it just feels ridiculous that I even went there. However,
they still do Watsu.
I know they do, and I'm sure they're all naked up there still, and I'm sure it's a good time.
Yeah.
You know,
and if there are any listeners out there, from Harbin Springs.
I loved it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But, you know, I still wonder, though, if that was being brave or just feeling like would I have been braver to say, I'm going to be wearing clothes, everyone. I'm sorry. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or
were you brave or were you chicken?
That's what I wonder sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know what? Who cares? Once it was over, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm just like, oh, well. I am such a conformist. I swear.
I've never done any. I don't think I've ever done any naked stuff.
Well,
I think one time we went swimming in my husband's parents' pond, and it was about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. You know, so really, you didn't really see anything.
No.
Got your clothes off and
got
quick jumped in. Yeah.
Oh no!
Not to say that there were four other couples there.
No, were there four other couples there?
Could be. Might have been.
Oh, I never heard that story before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess in every girl's life, they have to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, do I count the after we swam and stuff, does the body painting in the tent?
Oh, please, that did not happen.
No, it didn't happen.
It did not happen. Well, you know what? Thinking back now, I had been brave one time, braver than that.
Mm-hmm.
I said no to pot at a concert, at a Van Halen concert.
Oh, that is brave.
I know.
Especially as Van Halen.
They were like, everyone was passing it around. I'm like, yeah, I feel very brave. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Were you with your friends or your brother?
I was with my brother because my brother is a big Van Halen fan.
Yeah. Did he partake?
Oh, no, he did not.
Aw.
I don't think so.
So I have two good kids.
That you have scared the crap out of.
That's right.
From day one in our lives.
That's
because
right.
Because you always said that don't take anything you don't know who it came from because it's probably laced with something really bad.
That's right.
You know.
And I did.
And you backed it up with tons of stories, personal stories. And I'm like, my mom.
Yeah. I had the stories in my pocket. But I think the big one that I used on you from, like, when you guys were, like, really little, was that if you, you know, if you screwed up, you were going to have to work at a gas station.
Yes.
The rest of your life. That was sort of, like, whatever that meant.
Whatever it meant, yes. I don't know what that meant, but that's what was...
Right.
It was, like, that thing. I'm like, okay, well, that's not good.
Yeah. You just grew up thinking, well, my God, I can't work at a gas station.
I know.
But now, like, I mean, hey.
I know. I'm like...
wanted.
I know. I like Casey's. I'll take a part-time job there.
Yeah.
They pay for benefits.
Benefit,
I love that.
Make the coffee.
I know. Now I'm
put
like,
the hot dogs on the grill.
They have a nice benefit package and retirement. I'm all signed up for Casey's as my part-time gig.
That's right.
You know?
Little did I know back then.
I know. What were you thinking?
I know. Who needed a college education? You could have just been...
Exactly. And so I think those are the times I've been brave, but I haven't, I try and be brave now as adults. And I think seeing these guys do what they do,
mm-hmm.
for fear not of any humiliation, they do it in bliss. They
yes.
work hard. I really want to be more like them. They are my personal heroes.
Yes. Well, and now that I've actually, you know, physically met them, as opposed to just hearing the stories about it, mm-hmm. I think my Sinkhole de Mayo book, you can get it on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's actually a Kindle book. I think it's like 99 cents.
Yeah.
It's like, so if I sell 1 million, I'll be okay. I'm cooking with gas.
Yes.
But my hero is Tony Camaro, which in real life, his name is Buddy the Business Houston.
Bobby
the Business Houston.
Yes.
And so he's my Tony Camaro, and the rest of the wrestlers become zomboys.
Yes.
Because that they even though they still are an amateur wrestling team, they go wherever there is a threat of zombies or anything zombie-ish.
Yes.
So we all know what that means.
Awesome storyline. Very cool.
Speaking of zombies, Jewel, tell a little bit about what your father, we were playing this game with about
oh
eight
my
people
gosh.
Last night.
Yes, we had a nice party last night.
Mm-hmm.
We had lots of great food, and my two little nieces came over with my brother and his wife, one's two and one's just born, six, like 4 weeks old, yay. And we had two other couples come over, and we played this one game where we saw it on TV, that it was the Hollywood Game Night TV, and it was so much fun. But two people have to decide, they're looking at a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to guess, well, I can have my team name this TV show in like five words.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person goes, you know, I can do it in four.
And he goes, well, maybe I can do it in two.
Two, yeah.
And then you go, name that TV show.
And so it was Girls Against Boys.
Yes.
And I have, yes, Girls Kick Butt yesterday.
Yes. Girls Kick
Exactly.
Butt.
Yeah. And then I just happened to be paired with my dad. So every time we'd go up, we'd share the same clue. We'd see the name on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, and this one came up. And I'm not going to tell everybody what it is. I go, okay, the boys are losing pretty badly.
Yes.
And I said,
they're getting creamed.
You can get this one. I'm going to give you the first chance. And I'm thinking he can do this in one.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, all right, I can do this in two. I'm like, oh, great.
And then
two. And I said, you sure can't do it in one? He goes, no, I can do it in two. And I thought to myself, okay, I've got my girls here. And do I break bad and say, do it in two, or do I try the win and do it in one?
Mm-hmm.
I know I can get this. I know I'm getting one.
You know you can get it in one, but are you going to be kind to your father?
And I said, no, I will not be kind to my father. I had the girls to think of, and they're all like, no, no mercy here in this game. No mercy.
No mercy.
So I stood up, and I said one word, and I walked kind of like, oh, and I said, zombies.
Mm-hmm. And now, we all got it.
We all got it.
Within a split second, we all
the
got
Walking
it.
The Walking Dead, right?
Yes.
And so then I go, Dad, though, what was your clue?
Yeah, well, if you had taken two words, what was your clue, Normano?
He said, strolling deceased. Strolling deceased. And everybody started laughing because there's nothing funnier than thinking of all these zombies.
That's right.
Or just strolling.
Just strolling along.
Just strolling
we're
along.
Just ambling.
Exactly.
We're just out for a nice little gait.
Strolling.
That's right.
We're the deceased. And we're strolling. We're having a good time.
Yeah. And that's Norman Norman, though. That's just, he's like the modern-day Perry Como. You know, nothing gets to him. Just easy going.
Yeah. And how awesome.
And that's what, so in, for The Walking Dead, he would be
strolling deceased.
The strolling deceased.
That would be his title of that show, so that, you know, when you go and you channel surf,
mm-hmm.
like strolling deceased.
That's right.
You know, I might be turned on by that show. I like to turn into the strolling deceased.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's about.
We had, one that I had was, I did it in one word, which my girls,
mm-hmm.
my girlfriends got, and I said, Ricardo.
Oh, yes.
One word.
Ricardo.
And my girls, the count of three. One, two, three.
I love Lucy.
Absolutely.
Yes, we did it. And I would, after thinking about it, I'm like, oh, it could have been Ricardo Montalban. It could have been, you know.
No. Okay, what TV show was he on?
He was, you know, he was on
Fantasy Island.
Yeah. And that could have been it, but
the
it
plane.
Wasn't.
The plane, Buzz.
I guess it would have been plane. I guess you'd have done that. That would have been, you probably could have done that in one time.
I was very smart last night, but I made one huge error.
What was
mine?
That?
Was my on my team, one of the gals said Gideon.
Oh, yeah.
And my immediate thought, and I didn't confer because we have one of the rules is that you have the option to confer.
Yeah, you just sprouted.
I just spurted it out, and I was thinking of the TV show The Bible. Correct.
Yes,
that was a TV
were.
Show.
It
right?
was. It was.
So she said Gideon. I'm like the Bible, and she went. No.
And I went, we're like,
really?
Thank you for screwing that up.
Really? How did I miss this one? But go ahead and tell what it was, girlfriend.
What it was Criminal Minds.
Now, is that a reach? Is that a stretch?
It is.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
You know, it's very cool. Very cool. So, yeah, but it was a fun night. Had by all. And it was nice, you know, to let sometimes you've got to let things all hang out and just go for it. Go for it, you know?
Yeah, girlfriend. What were some of the other TV shows that we did? Say Yes to the Dress.
I wouldn't have gotten that one, but luckily we had enough people on the team to get it.
And Paranormal Witness, that was one of your good ones.
Yes. Yes, it was. And it was
Ghost Hunters.
Yes. Well, and here is one. If anybody knows what House Hunters watch that show at HGTV.
Yeah.
My mom loves House Hunters and House Hunters International.
Yes.
And so...
Go ahead and narc on
Dad said... Well, what was going on with my dad is that he turned from actually giving right clues to rhyming everything.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. And we had to say no more rhyming.
He was cray-cray.
So it would like... So if it was House Hunters, it would be Blouse... You know, Munters.
Yes.
Blouse Munters.
He went, Blouse Munters... International.
Yeah. That's I'm like what does that
all
mean?
All right. Now we got to change the rules.
Yeah, no more rhyming words.
And then he tried to get porridge cars in.
Yes. For
like
storage
wars.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, really?
I know.
And Greg kept saying, well, you know, it's the spirit of the law.
Yeah. Yeah, the spirit of the law. No, forget that.
No.
Forget that.
No. No, not Mouse Punters International. No.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, that was our lovely night.
Yes.
And it was very cool. It was very fun. And I don't know. Hopefully our guests will be on in a couple minutes. But I want to share a few things that are happening coming up this weekend.
Yes.
This week and this weekend. Yes. We are having a Clearing the Clutter Sunday.
Yes.
And we're having Amp It Up this Thursday. And this is a time when we share with all of our lovelies out there a chance to, you know, when we go to do our Amp It Up, it's all online or on the phone. We meet for about 22, 25 minutes.
I think it's about 25 now.
Yeah,
we kind of do
it.
Used to be we could do it in 20. Now we kind of take our time. We linger.
Exactly.
Now it's about 25 minutes.
And we go to that field of pure potentiality up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we put our intention into that field of pure potentiality.
And we plant the seed of that intention, as Deepak Chopra would say.
Exactly. And it's amazing how with the power, with the group power and the group energy, how fun and quickly things have a tendency to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to invite all of our lovelies to come on there. And the one way you can get notification of that is to join our list.
Yes.
Be a part of our lovelies. And you can go to theclutterflyeffect.com and sign up right there. And by doing so, you'll get notification and all the details about what's coming up. Now, it's been so much fun doing the Clearing the Clutter because on Sunday we're doing it from 9 to noon Central Time.
Right.
We meet for the top of every hour for about 5 to 10 minutes. We set the intention, and we get kind of do a little energetic alignment going on there, and then we get to work. Now, the last time we did this, I had a closet that would scare anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't open the door without things falling out. And within that one day, I got it all done.
Yes, you did.
I took a before and after show, and I should put that up because that's pretty impressive. I was impressed. I just got it done.
I'll tell you what's even more impressive.
Yeah.
That it stayed clean.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I am, like, focused right now on having the house situated so differently. Like, I would store stuff that I never use.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, things I use never had a place.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm like, screw that. Mm-hmm. If I don't use it, I'm giving it away. Call it seed money.
That's right.
And I'm going to be able to put things away that I use, I can bring back out so they're never lost.
Mm-hmm.
So we say...
It's a beautiful way to think, girlfriend.
It really is. We say join us this week on Thursday and then also on Sunday for a Clear and the Clutter Sunday. It's going to be much fun.
Yeah, and if you're just hearing us for the first time, go to theclutterflyeffect.com and sign up so you'll get notification.
Yes,
when
exactly.
When you join us for that.
Exactly. So our guest is here.
Yay.
Jared, are you there?
Hello?
Is Jared Knight here?
Hello, Jared. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, ladies?
We're doing well.
Fine.
We're doing well.
Thank you for joining us.
That's okay. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, we love your accent already, so all the lovelies out there are see, we love the accent. We can't help it.
How early is it? Is it Monday morning where you're at?
Yeah, it's 9:30 Monday morning.
Well, we want to say
good morning.
Thank you for starting your week off with us. So we're talking with Jared Knight, awesome man. He is, I'm going to do a little bio on you, Jared. He's an author, cartoonist, an artist based on the Gold Coast in Greensland, Australia. And as a Starbreak and Secret member, Jared has always drawn, even while undergoing chemotherapy as a 13-year-old with bone cancer. I mean, Jared, I was reading this, I'm like, I can't imagine how it was like for you, and yet how great it would be for you to be able to draw during this time.
Sure.
And, at completing high school, you went to Queensland College of Art, and you found yourself working in the corporate world for over 15 years, doing various jobs, and then something happened. I can't imagine you being happy there. Tell us a little bit more about your story.
Basically, I was working like day in, day out, trudging away at a job I wasn't that happy with. And obviously being an artist and cartoonist, etc., I had a creative streak in me. And that wasn't being fulfilled in what I was doing. So I decided, well, with the help of my partner, we decided, I should make a life change because I wasn't getting any younger. So I thought, now's the time. Don't have any regrets with life. So I decided to pursue wholeheartedly my creative path.
And how I'm gonna, we talked at the beginning of the show, I don't know if you were listening or not, about being brave. And did you really feel that you had to stretch really strengthen your bravery muscle during this time? Or was it easy for you?
It was a big change. It was, because it's a whole process of, when you've got a job, it's secure in the fact that, you get paid every fortnight and you show up and you do your bits and pieces as you do every other week and there's a paycheck at the end of it. And so I was entering this world where it was everything was relying on me and my actions and what I did. So it was a big leap for me and on a personal, on a really personal level, I really grew as a person in that period and really discovered myself and got in contact with myself. And,
I mean, I can say it was, very, very brave of you to do that. And you can see the spiritual payoff for you or the personal payoff for you, because sometimes we have to just take that leap and we don't know about the financial part, and if we can just release that financial part, we go, okay, this is where my soul's calling me, and so forth. I want to talk about one of your books, Muffin and Yellowfin.
Yes.
What is Muffin and Yellowfin, and what inspired you to write this book?
Well, Muffin and Yellowfin is a book about an 11-year-old girl who suddenly, out of the blue, finds herself sick in a hospital, experience I was familiar with. And, and, you know, it's overwhelming. She's anxious, confused. It's all a bit strange to her. And she's very scared. And when she's in hospital, she happens to meet one night this giant yellow elephant, as you do in hospital. And and he helps her sort of rediscover herself. And the basic underlying message of the book is about, you know, staying positive no matter what and staying true to yourself and knowing that you can achieve and do anything with your life. And so I really wanted to write a book that was, that would help children in hospital. And when I started writing this book, I thought, well, this is the book to do it with. No, they need, because it's the first in a series of adventure books with Muffin and the Elephant. And I had to meet somehow and sort of develop a connection and so on. I thought, what better way than trying to do it in a hospital and help kids in the hospital who are reading the book know, maintain that positive focus and know that, you know, they stay true and honor, they stay true to themselves and remain positive, then there is, you know, there is a finish line to everything and they can get there and grow from the whole experience.
Yeah. And, I mean, it seems like it's your passion, but, you know, experiences as a 13-year-old, was the drawing one of the things that got you through this, that time in your life?
Yeah, it's drawing, well, a number of things, obviously family support as well, but
right.
It's the drawing, it's something I've always done, and it sort of is like almost like a default, and it relaxed me, and it helped me go within myself, and that whole creative process helps in, you know, because you're producing something at the same time, and so you're feeling productive, and you know, you've also been distracted from what's going on around you, and
right.
It's something that, you know, like I said, I'd always done. So it was very comforting being able to sit there and draw and just go within myself and sort of mentally transport myself away from, you know, the hospital wards and all the drugs and the nurses and the doctors and all the goings-on around me and just go inside myself and just be creative.
I think that's the most important thing during those times. Like you said, you have the family support, that's great, and then you also, the distraction of being able to distract yourself through that process.
Mm.
And one of the things you have on your website, it's jaredknight.com, and it's jarrodknight.com. You have some how-to books. And my brother is a wonderful artist and draws and would love to do more cartoon stuff. He's just fabulous, and I've always been so jealous, if you want to say, of your nice talent who can do this stuff. And I love your titles, How to Cartoon a Dog a Million Ways in 10 Easy Steps. So, Jared, is this book for just kids? Is it for adults? And are they really easy steps? Can we do it? Can we do it?
I'm sorry.
I missed what you say.
Hello?
Oh, I'm here. I just missed what you said. We got a little disconnected there for a second, but we're good.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Going across the ocean. It's for kids and adults. My guinea pig was my girlfriend, Claire, and she loves it. She's not much of an artist by her own admission, and she drew a dog, the best dog she'd ever drawn in her life, and she's quite proud of it and very... impressed with herself. So
I love that.
It's one of those things. Because, as you may have seen on the website too, like with the whole cancer thing, and remaining positive and so on, it's something now I'm trying to help other kids with and families with. They're in hospital at the moment, and how to cartoon books sort of came from that idea. It's sort of something they can sit there with a book and learn to draw, and it's another distraction for them, like I said, when I was in hospital, and really be productive and creative and, excuse me, and sort of forget that they're sick, basically, and sort of have fun.
So, Jared, hi, this is the mama here. This is Christine Marie. Tell me, if I had a magic wand, where would you like to see yourself in 5 years? What would you like to see yourself doing?
5 years? Yeah, I would like to be, I've already started this year, to be going, working, will be a successful author, be selling millions of books, because that always helps, but to be helping more children in hospital and their families, but doing one-on-one drawing with the kids in hospitals, doing cartoon workshops, writing more books that can help with that whole experience, but make it fun.
Yes.
So that's the problem from my memories of being in hospital was that, you know, suddenly you gone from being a kid, suddenly you become an adult. And you're thrust into this adult world, all these serious problems and this drama, and it's all very fast-paced. And kids kind of get the fun part of being a kid gets lost in all that. And so I'm working with the local cancer council at the moment and the Starlight Foundation, which I'm not sure whether you have that in America as well, but doing cartoon workshops and doing, I create some colouring templates for the kids to do, and looking at going into the hospitals and drawing with the kids one-on-one, just going around the wards, the kids who can't make it down to the main rooms, and just helping people through their experience. And, I'm emerging of my creative abilities and my skills and my experience as being a child in that situation, and helping them through it and helping the families through it. So in 5 years, I want to be doing a lot more of that and writing lots more and traveling the world and trying to do it on a global scale. Ideally, it'd be great to be helping us, you know, kids in Queensland or all around Australia, but all around the world, doing what I do.
I love that. That's awesome.
It's a great way to, I mean, I can totally honor the fact that you've figured out what you love to do, what you're great at, and how to bring it to service to the world. And, that's like our life's journey right there,
right,
to figure that out. And you figured it out for yourself.
If there's
that's
anything
awesome.
You need from us on this side of the pond, let us know. You know, we'll do what we can for you.
You know, and I know also, too, on your website, you also do T-shirts. That's cool. Tell me about the T-shirts, because some of them are a little edgier. And are some of them profiles of you? I couldn't tell. I'm like, that might look like him. I wasn't sure.
So I can't say it again, it's left in the line.
No problem. I was just thinking about your T-shirts. I saw on your website you had some very, very cool T-shirts. And I was wondering, were some of the artwork pictures of you as well on there? Or how do you get your inspiration for your T-shirts that you do?
With the T-shirts, I just draw my inspiration from what I like, and I try to come from the perspective of if I like it, then other people will like it, I guess, and what I'd wear. So I just draw people like Hunter S. Thompson and Kurt Cobain T-shirts and so on. Obviously, I love music, I love reading, and there's also just sort of drawings I've just come off the top of my head, stuff crazy. I thought, I thought to myself, that'd be pretty cool on a T-shirt. So it sort of happened that way.
No, very, very cool. Very cool artwork, though. I mean, I love the T-shirts. And Mom just said that you have onesies on your website as well for people to buy.
For little infants?
That's cool. I love that.
Sorry.
That's fun. That's pretty fun. I love that. Yeah. So what are you working on right now?
At the moment, I'm doing a new book called Mary from Scary, and that's a lot. It's written in a different way to the way I wrote Mouse and Yeltsin, which is sort of more of a straight story. Mary from Scary is more rhymey, a bit like Dr. Seuss. And it was a fun way to write. So, and I really find Dr. Seuss an inspiration, and it's something worth. It's a kind of writing I've always toyed around with and wanted to do. And sort of, I sat down over a period of a week or something, and sort of this story sort of came to me. And so it's basically about a girl again who finds herself in a situation. She's sort of unique. She lives in a little town called Misery, and she's like really happy and positive, but everyone wants to drag her down. So she remains positive and true to herself, and goes off on an adventure. She gets banished and finds an adventure and find out things are what they are, and a whole adventure unfolds before her. So I'm illustrating that at the moment. And I'm also doing some work with, as I mentioned before, the Starlight Foundation, which is an Australian foundation, I think. I'm not sure whether they're worldwide or not. I like to go into hospitals and entertain the kids and make it a fun experience. And they have rooms in various hospitals around Australia where kids can play games, they can watch movies, they can, you know, just sit around and draw and be creative. And it's a room where doctors and nurses aren't allowed. It's purely their space for them to have fun while they're having the hospital experience and help, like I want to do, and help distract them from the whole illness and the day in, day out fight against their illness.
Yeah. You know, I've got a question about your method to your writing, because when you're starting to write, I mean, I know you did a lot of cartooning when you were younger, so when you're writing your stories, do you see in your mind's eye the visual page first, the picture that you want to draw, and then you add words to that? Or, you know, especially for Muffin and Yellowfant, maybe not for the rhyming book as much, or did you come up with a story first and then bring picture to it? How does that work?
It's not one consistent method, I don't think. Muffin Yellowfoot was actually originally a cartoon strip I'd come up with. Mm. And I'd sort of done bits and pieces of it. I hadn't really got anywhere with it. And then when I came with the idea of writing a kid's book, I thought something they popped into my head. Not Muffin Yellowfoot, the ideal for that. And so I basically worked out a basic structure of where I wanted the story to go and what I wanted to happen, and sort of filled in the blanks, so to speak, in between. Whereas the new book, Mary from Scary, I just started, put the rhyming book, I basically start point A and finish at point B. I just sort of, whatever comes out, I start with like two opening lines, and the whole story sort of emerges after that, where my mind takes me, which is probably the fun aspect of it. But I guess I get sort of a vague mental image in my head of what I want the characters to look like originally when I'm writing the book. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I finish writing the story, then my original idea of what they look like and how I'm going to portray them tends to change. And so everything's more in sync with the story and the characters themselves.
This is going to sound like an odd question for some. I mean, it's not odd for me because I'm not a writer or an artist, but do you have a hard time, like, one of your characters, they look the same? If you didn't, like from the beginning of the book to the end of the book, or do you notice that they've kind of changed slightly and you have to go back and fix that?
Yeah. I try to use... I have like basic templates for the characters to help maintain consistency throughout the book. But I try to nail myself down to that too much, because It, I want to be, I don't want to be too cold and unnatural, so I sort of refer to them and use those templates as a basis as I'm doing the book and I'm doing the illustrations. but they vary slightly between page to page, then I guess so be it. But they, but I suppose you want it to be a more natural feel to the book and less cold.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's a great question, Joel. And the idea about using a template is very important.
Yeah. Yes, because I know a lot of people out there are going, I would love to write children's books. I mean,
I know.
Especially teachers, because I'm a former teacher, and then also parents who, you know, love this. They're working with their kids, they're engaging, and then all of a sudden, like, we have a book here. Let's do some fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your other books you have is How to Cartoon Yourself in 10 Easy Steps. And just what's one of your steps for doing that, and not to have yourself look too goofy, or do you just say go for it? Goofy is the right direction.
I mean, it's all about having fun, you know. And if you can't make fun of yourself, then you know you've got to it's a cartoon, and if you're drawing yourself, then you just need to let all your inhibitions go and don't be too self-conscious about anything and just have fun with it and just be crazy.
I can see a lot of people wanting to, learn how to cartoon yourself or your doggy.
Exactly. Now, do you ever think about doing comic books? I know that in the States, I'm guessing worldwide, comic books are just huge. Do you ever think about doing that as well?
Yeah. I used to when I was younger, but I kind of like the whole being able to do different stories all the time. I find it more stimulating mentally for me, whereas if you're doing a big comic book, then sort of the time you illustrate it all and do the story, you invest a lot of time in doing that. So maybe I'll do it down the track again at some stage. I'm not sure, but at the moment I'm happy just doing comic strips and occasional comic strip and writing books. And that's where my creativity is sort of liking being at the moment.
Well, I'm going to ask you to give all the lovelies out there some advice. First, I want to say go to Jared's website, jaredknight.com, jaredknight.com. You can buy his children's books there. You can buy his how-to books there, how to cartoon a dog in a million ways in 10 easy steps, or how to cartoon yourself in 10 easy steps. He's got great T-shirts, cute onesies for babies.
That's
love
right.
Love that. Love that. Go there. So I'm going to ask you, you know, if you're going to give someone advice on, like, you know, writing a children's book, what would it be?
Just do it. I mean, it's a case of, like, I didn't do any writing courses or any basic high school English. So it's a case of just sitting down and writing it. If you sit down and write it, you know, then you don't know what will come out of you mentally and onto the page. So, just sit down and write it, and that way you get your creative juices flowing and you're really expressing what you want to say, whatever the message may be you want to put in the book. And so, excuse me. Yeah, just sit down and go for it, because, you know, there's no point going, oh, I better not do that because I might not be good at it. I say just, you know, life's short, just grab it and just do it, and, you know, it's either fantastic or not so fantastic, but the main thing is you've done what you want to do and you've explored that creative outlet. So, but, you know, if you want to be more pointed about it, then I guess find something that's quite, if you're, in terms of subject matter for your book, just find something that's close to your heart and something that is relative to you, and that's always a good starting point. and that way can sort of draw from our experiences.
I totally agree with that.
Because the great thing about children's books is it's all about imagination and, you know, being a bit, being very creative and being a bit surreal and just being able to do, you know, limitless things with your imagination.
Well, I appreciate your passion for, you know, the children in hospital and the compassion that you have. And from your perspective, you know, from your wise perspective, seeing what is, you know, what is needed, a positive outlook and things like that that you are offering children. I so applaud you for that.
No, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jared. Well, thank you for this great interview, and thank you for talking to us on a Sunday night here and a Monday morning there. And I just could say go to his website now, purchase his book. If not, put it on your schedule for tomorrow morning to go. I want to buy this book, How to Cartoon a Dog in a Million Ways,
yes,
in 10 Easy Steps, because I have had that desire. And to show my brother what I could do would be awesome.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, Greg.
When I go to jaredknight.com.
Yes, jaredknight.com. Thank you, Jared, so much.
Oh, thank you for having me, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank
Have a great night. Oh, what a wonderful,
Thank you.
What a wonderful, wonderful interview. And I just, you know me, Mama.
I know.
I've always had a thing for the Australian accent.
I know you do, girlfriend.
It's a little crazy. I know. And I'm too embarrassed to ask them if they find the American or the, you know, American accent.
Yeah, I think they don't.
Wouldn't that be lovely if they did?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
It's just like, you know, you can say, you know, oh, you just stepped in a pile of poop, and it sounds so good.
That's right.
In, with an Aussie accent.
I know.
Can you do that? Hi, matey. You just stepped in a pile of poop. That sounds
not,
like Lucky Charms, doesn't it?
I know, and I'm too embarrassed to say, hey, Jared, could you repeat the sentence for me? Would you do that for me? No, I can't do it, you know, so. But
doesn't it sound fun, though, to learn how to cartoon yourself? I mean, you know, worst-case scenario, you might get a card table and a chair, sit yourself, you know, on the street corner in Chicago.
Why is that a worst-case scenario? I love that scenario.
And for a dollar a portrait, you know, sit down and I'll cartoon you.
Exactly. I just was seeing Andy Dick on that one show about switching wives or whatever.
Yeah, wife swap.
Go out, or him and his whatever you want to call it, girlfriend.
Yes.
Whatever. Go out and do poetry for a dollar.
That's right.
You know, how awesome is that?
Yeah, all you got to do is, you know, card table, little bitty mini easel, and, you know, I would say $5, though.
I would, too.
I'm
Come
not
on.
Gonna...
I'd say 10.
Yeah. Oh, really?
10, 15. I'd pay $10.
You've got confidence, girlfriend.
Oh, there you go. I'm brave.
Yeah.
Lakeshore
Drive.
Near you, coming to an amusement park near you.
That's
I will
right.
do that.
That's right.
I mean, once you master this, you'll have a career. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, for the cost of a book, you'll have a career. My gosh.
That's great.
That's he's got a gold mine there.
Yes, exactly. So I just want to tell everybody right now, you can go to theclutterflyeffect.com, sign up, and find out more about what's coming up on Thursday for,
Amp it up,
and then Clearing the Clutter on Sunday, and you can purchase our book there as well, The Clutterfly Effect.
Yeah. And also coming, not next month, but in September, is our Clutterfly Effect membership site.
Yes.
We're going to have fun, we're going to rock and roll, and we're going to just, raise the roof.
And
do the cabbage patch.
Yeah, and maybe Engineer will start playing our song and we'll start singing.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Everybody
needs a good girlfriend. Makes the wrong seem right. Everybody needs a good girlfriend. Everybody needs a good girlfriend with a heart of gold. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.